Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
This is Twin Cities News Talk. AM 1130. Oh, 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 oh. 103.5 FM.
Yeah.
This is TCNT Movie Talk.
I feel so unsure.
This is saucy.
This saucy show is where we talk about movies and theaters this week, DVD and Blu-ray releases this week, movies new out on streaming, movies out this week 10 years ago, movies out 20 years ago. Sitting to my left is Andrew Lee.
Hi!
Across from him is John Justice. And next to me is Nick Zerwas, Representative Nick Zerwas, and I am Sam Sansevier. Let's talk about some movies.
Let's do that.
Movies in theaters this week. Us? Is it us or U.S.? Us?
It's us.
It's us. I don't even know. I haven't paid attention
to it.
It's us.
I'm so excited.
And Hotel Mumbai. Or Mumbai? I don't know.
Mumbai.
Wow.
I don't know how to pronounce any of this.
I don't know how to pronounce
it. I think it's actually, typed wrong.
I think that's how they pronounce it there. Mumbai.
Mumbai. I like Mumbai. M-U-M-B-I?
Isn't that?
Or is
like
an A there?
The cousin to the Transformer Bumblebee.
Yeah. Mumbai. Mumblebee.
I don't like that.
Why has nobody done Mumblebee?
I'm sorry.
How fantastic would Mumblebee be?
Sorry, I received this movie title in an email, and there's no A, so that's why I was confused.
Well, because it's called Us.
No, I'm talking about Mumbai. I'm talking about Mumbai, not Us.
That's how you spell Mumbai.
No, it's not. It's M-U-M-B-A-I.
I'll tackle Us since I'm going to see
it. Yeah, do that because I have no desire to see any of these
and
films.
I am super, super excited for Us. This is the second movie from Jordan Peele, his follow-up to Get Out, which was fantastic. Yeah. Us, the trailers look genuinely terrifying. I mean, this looks like it's hard to find. I love scary movies. I love horror movies. I love the genre. But 99% of the movies aren't scary. All right, they're fun, you know, and you get a few things here and there, but they're not like scary. I mean, it's hard to find and hard to make a good scary movie. Even Get Out, which was in that genre, was not a scary movie. There was nothing scary about Get Out. It was more Hitchcock type of
thriller,
psychological thriller, psychological drama. A lot of homages to Hitchcock in that. This one looks like a straight up horror movie. The reviews so far have been fantastic. So I'm super excited. I'm going to see it tonight. Can't wait. I don't know anything about Hotel Mumbai.
It's Mumbai.
I know nothing about Hotel Mumblebee.
Hotel Mumbai is a movie. Terror strikes in the heart of Mumbai, India, M-U-M-B-A-I, as members of something I can't pronounce storm the Taj Mahal Palace Hotel in a series of coordinated attacks throughout the city. Amid the gunfire and mayhem, a brave chef and kitchen worker decide to risk their own lives to try and protect the frightened guests. As the militants continue their assault on the hotel, a desperate couple must do whatever they can to protect their newborn baby. And before I go any further, I want to acknowledge the fact that I'm an idiot and I didn't introduce Brianne on the show.
Oh, it's okay.
I'm sorry.
Hey, guys. It's all right.
I'm used to you're sitting behind me and I just forgot. So I'm sorry. We also have Brianne with us.
And in defense.
I'm sorry. I'm really sorry.
in defense of the individuals that help with movie talk, you know, this is 3:31 a.m. So, you know, just want to point that out why sometimes that might occur. I'm not speaking for me. I'm just saying, looking at the timestamp of when the email was sent.
Totally fair.
3:31.
That's a news quiz bonus point for John.
Yeah, right there. You go. Yeah.
You're not even contestant. Ha ha. Nobody picked you.
No. No. I don't want to see any of these movies.
Yeah, I know you don't do the scary movies.
Yeah, I have no desire to see either of them either.
I actually really do want to see. I want to see a good scary movie.
Well,
I mean,
this looks like it's going to be one.
So for me, when I saw The Conjuring, I thought that was a really well done scary movie.
I would agree.
And I ever since then, I can't really think of another movie that I've seen that has been like actually truly scary for me. But I felt like for me, The Conjuring did it.
They're few and far between. I mean, and I go to scary movies. I mean, I went to see that stupid escape room and I had fun watching that, you know, and so you know, I give the horror genre a pretty wide berth because I know it, you know, most of them are just kind of fun. They're not really scary. This one looks very good.
Did you guys see Hereditary?
Yes.
I don't.
That was freaky.
Yeah. I did not. Would you? Was that a scary movie?
I didn't see it either because I hate scary movies, but I love to kind of know what's going on, what the scariest is, and I've heard good things about it.
Hereditary is... It actually had some pretty decent scary moments in it, but it was more of a... I'm trying to figure out the best thing to compare it to. More of a... it was very 70s-ish, like the type of horror movies that would come out in the 70s that contained scenes that are just bizarre. They're just weird, and so they make you uncomfortable, and they sort of, you know, that's where they generate a lot of that fear from.
Yeah.
Is they put you, the viewer, in situations that are bizarre and uncomfortable. But Hereditary was pretty good. That was a freaky movie for sure.
For me, when it comes to scary movies, I do like scary movies. Now I used to not like them, but what I don't like is like quote unquote scary movies that rely mostly on just like
jump scares.
Yeah, jump scares. Thank you.
I know.
Where they just try to startle you. I don't like that.
Yeah, I don't mind a few, but yeah, too many movies rely solely on jump scares.
And
jump scares are so predictable. Like you can see them coming from a mile away.
Yep. And that's why, like with The Conjuring, I just felt like it was just a creepy vibe. It was a creepy story built on itself and everything. Yeah.
Oh, what about The Nun? Did you guys
see
that?
The Nun sucked.
I did not see it.
The Nun sucked. Okay. That was horrible.
All right.
I think I heard Drew say that The Nun sucked, and that was one reason why I didn't see it.
Okay.
Nick, you looked like you had something to say.
Just pass.
Yeah, if I'm going to watch a scary movie, it'd be more along these lines. But I just, you know, I hear it's great. It's not my bag.
DVD and Blu-ray releases this week. Aquaman and Stan and Ollie.
I am looking forward to seeing Stan and Ollie at some point in time. Growing up with my dad was a huge Laurel and Hardy fan and still... tortures, you know, even his grandchildren with Babes in Toyland. Anyway, that looks really interesting. I'm gonna watch Aquaman again, mostly because Kyle wants to see it again, which I was really surprised about. For me in my world, I haven't made a decision on whether or not I'll be purchasing the Blu-ray of Aquaman yet. I'm gonna watch it again and decide.
He will.
Whether or not that's one that I want to watch over and over again.
Spoiler alert!
You guys all think you know me so well. I haven't.
I don't know. I liked Aquaman. I liked Aquaman, but I've always just been fascinated with like movies that are based in worlds underwater. That's just ever since I was a little kid. It was like The Little Mermaid always was like one of my favorite movies. So I'm just fascinated by that whole aesthetic, and it was really colorful and it was cool to watch. But it's not like, I mean, it was obviously, I mean, it's a movie, I think, well, I don't know. To say that it's like geared towards a younger audience is probably wrong. But I don't know.
Does it help to? Because I have not seen Justice League nor Aquaman yet.
Do I need to
watch Justice League before Aquaman?
I haven't seen Justice League, and I have seen Aquaman. You don't need to see it.
No, they're
I'm just so not into.
They're all disconnected right now. And DC still can't figure out quite. They still can't seem to get this movie made a lot of money, but.
They can't get any
real traction. You know, just because Aquaman made a lot of money doesn't mean that like the next one's going to be great. You know, this Marvel has so just surpassed them in terms of quality and the way that they've structured it.
Totally.
Yeah.
There's a difference between, I mean, there's, you know, making a lot of money and making a great movie are not always the same thing, right? You know, and DC movies have made a lot of money. I mean, Justice League made a lot of money. Wonder Woman made a lot of money. I mean, these movies, they're not performing poorly, but they're just not, there's something missing from that entire DC. And I think it has a lot to do with the aesthetics that they choose. Because even if you look at Shazam, right, the trailers for Shazam, which is the next one that's coming out, and it looks funny. I mean, it looks like it's, you know, they're taking a more comedic route. And I hope it is as funny as it looks. But everything, I was watching the trailer the other day, everything but Shazam still has that sort of washed out, gray, blah, DC aesthetic. And it's just, I don't know why they insist on making superhero/comic book movies that aren't big and colorful and bright and fun, like yep. comic books are supposed to be.
Well, I push back on that a little bit. I think it's more personal preference.
Because I agree. 100%.
You know, I mean, if you've got a good story, I mean, look at the Nolan trilogy, and that's what really ruined it for DC. The Nolan trilogy of Batman movies were so good that DC thought they could continue down that road, and I would argue that they succeeded with Man of Steel. I still think Man of Steel is fantastic. Justice League didn't perform. I mean, Justice League did not make the money that it was supposed to make. It underperformed in the way sort of that Solo underperformed, especially when you consider the slate of superheroes that were in right. that film. I'm really looking forward to Shazam. I don't mind that aesthetic as long as the storylines are solid. And again, Man of Steel would be my example of that. And one more point on it, I would have preferred, honestly, Aquaman to be more like the other DC films than the kaleidoscope of rainbow of colors that it was, because it really, for me, kind of...
It was so much.
It kind of just yeah. sucked me out of it.
It was so...
So vibrant.
Like, I'm almost... So I didn't watch it in theaters. Watched it at home. And I am actually... like really happy that they didn't see it in the theaters, because I hope they have an epilepsy warning at the beginning of that movie, because that it's really bright and there's a lot of colors, there's a lot of moving parts there, and it's fun to watch on a small screen, but I feel like it'd be overwhelming if I had seen it in a theater.
Yeah.
Or oh my gosh, if I saw it like in 3D.
But again, you look at a movie like Avatar, which I still really enjoy and obviously still has made the most money ever,
right?
That
it was more well done.
Yeah, there was an intention there.
The
sort of phosphorescent intention of that film was much different.
Yes.
I think it's really hard to compare a comic book movie to a James Cameron. I mean,
it was just basically just the color palette. The color palettes are similar.
Yeah, I would agree, because Avatar was, I mean, is such a spectacle, or is, I suppose, since there's more coming out. Such a spectacle, and it was a beautiful, beautiful movie. And Aquaman was just kind of seemed like they just kind of threw shapes and colors underwater. Yeah. And
I couldn't get past the way they did the underwater scenes.
What bothered you?
Because they were all underwater, but anytime anybody spoke, it wasn't like they were underwater anymore. Like the way that they handled the underwater, like in Justice League, they created a bubble that they talked in underwater.
Okay.
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 So when they spoke, they actually created sort of a pocket of air where they spoke into. And in Aquaman, when you get the visual of somebody, it's not like we're underwater talking to each other. It's like we're just talking to each other, but everything around us is all floating.
So
it just took me out every time I watched it.
Okay, so as someone who saw Aquaman, did not see Justice League, so this probably is a dumb question. I mean, was Aquaman in Justice League?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so like he was talking within a bubble
mm-hmm.
or whatever?
Yeah, you meet Amber Heard's character in Justice League. He goes to Atlantis in Justice League.
Okay.
So Aquaman is not the first time you go there, but I like the Atlantis in Justice League better than what they did in Aquaman.
So they changed how they talk underwater.
Yes.
And why would they not stay consistent?
Because Justice League didn't make the money that they had hoped it was going to make, and so they just kind of went, well, we'll just kind of forget about that when we make our Aquaman movie.
You need some continuity with, like...
Yeah,
if you establish a way that they're going to talk underwater, you can't just.
Yeah, no, they didn't, you know.
Is Justice League worth a watch?
Oh yeah, I personally, for what it is, I like Justice League for what it is. I mean, you've got the arguably DC has always had the better superheroes than Marvel. The only reason why it's flip-flop is because Disney and Kevin Feige have done such an amazing job with the Marvel movies.
That's such a good point.
That's so true. Because I think some of the DC, you got Wonder Woman and Aquaman are both fascinating characters.
Right. I was never a comic book guy, but I know that in the comic, it was your, bad example, but your Star Wars versus Star Trek.
Mm-hmm.
DC was your Star Wars, Marvel was your Star Trek.
Right. Right.
But now, like, the general movie-going audience isn't thinking in those terms at all, because Marvel has just...
Become a whole new thing.
And this is what... And this, I mean, in Warner Brothers has just been trying to play catch-up now for, a decade? They've been trying to play catch up, just watching. And, yeah. and this is what happens. This is off the rails here, but this is what happens when you have a movie studio that's trying to replicate instead of doing their own their own thing.
Just yeah.
They should have never stuck with Zack Snyder for as long as they did. That's their biggest problem. But
I agree.
That was a Man of Steel. Again, I love Man of Steel. I absolutely love Man of Steel, but. When he did the next one, I was like, no, you should have cut bait, dude, after Batman versus Superman, because that should have been the pinnacle. And, you know,
yeah.
And I'll watch that movie, but holy cow, is it dark.
It took effort to screw up Batman versus Superman. It really did. I mean, you're taking two of the biggest superhero franchises, you know, fans have been clamoring for years.
Right.
And they just... They screwed it up fantastically.
You gave us a turd.
Your Lego Batman exponentially is better.
Yes.
Apart from the Nolan films.
Lego Batman's hilarious.
Yeah, Lego Batman's great.
It's just for you to mess up two of the biggest like superhero franchises, but two of the biggest just superhero figures. You have Superman and Batman. Right. Have any of you guys seen Stan and Ollie?
No, but it's on my list. You know, I love John C. Reilly. Just love John C. Reilly. I'll watch almost anything he's in. He's so good, except for the Sherlock Holmes movie. I won't watch that. I don't know much about Laurel and Hardy, so it's not like I'm coming at this movie because, you know, I'm dying to see this chapter of their lives that it's supposed to represent. I was just sold on the reviews. The reviews that came out were... Ooh. Really, really positive across the board. I think it was sitting in the low 90 percentile Rotten Tomatoes last time I looked.
It's got 93% on Rotten Tomatoes. Yeah.
Oh, wow. They're still really. You go back and watch those little black and white Laurel and Hardys, and oh my gosh, they're still funny.
Yeah, they really are.
They are still so funny.
They really are. And I'm very, very interested, very curious to see what that movie's like.
Yeah, this is a movie about Laurel and Hardy, the world's greatest comedy team, facing an uncertain future as their golden era.
Before Justice and Drew came around.
Hashtag truth.
You guys are a comedy team?
Oh, damn.
They face an uncertain future as their golden era of Hollywood films remain long behind them, diminished by age. The duo set out to reconnect with their adoring fans by touring variety halls in Britain in 1953. The show's become an instant hit, but Stan and Ollie can't quite shake past as long-buried tension and Hardy's failing health start to threaten their precious partnership. Nothing big new out on streaming, but movies out this week. 10 years ago, you have Duplicity and I Love You, Man. Oh,
I Love You, Man. That movie's so funny.
That movie's 10 years.
Yeah.
Yep,
yeah.
10 years.
That movie.
Wow. That makes me feel old.
Right?
Because that movie does not feel like it's 10 years old.
Yeah.
That is a fantastic movie.
I'm trying to even remember what it is.
Paul Rudd and
Jason Segel.
Segel and Rashida Jones.
Yep. Yep. John Favreau.
Jamie Priestley.
Priestley. Yeah. Andy Samberg.
Is it Priestley?
Jamie Priestley. Yeah.
Jamie Priestley.
Yeah, Samberg's in it. I forgot about him. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, the whole
J.K. Simmons.
That movie, you know, what's and again, I'm going to go.
Pretty good cast. I don't think I've ever seen this movie.
Oh my gosh.
It's a good cast.
I'm going to go deep on I Love You, Man. And the reason why I'm going to go deep on I Love You, Man is because I Love You, Man is one of those comedies that does comedy really, really well, but it also does life very well, and it is an incredibly honest film. I don't know how else to put it. Like, it's one of these movies. Have you seen it, Brianne? Okay. And I'm curious whether or not you agree. It's one of these films that you watch. It doesn't make you uncomfortable, but when you watch it, especially depending on who you're watching it with, there is a level of reality to that movie that the honesty I really appreciate. On like so many different.
Yes, that's what makes the movie work.
On the homosexual level, on the marriage level, on father-son relationships and best friend level.
Yeah.
That movie is so honest.
Yep, you're absolutely right. I never thought of it that way until you just said that, but you're right. That's what makes it funny. That's what makes it work. It's definitely a guy movie.
Sure.
I don't know that.
Would it resonate with me?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. Because it is. It's about the dynamic of male friendships. And
but it does the female stuff really well too.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. It's just a really good movie. It's really well done.
It's one of those,
it's funny. It's very, very funny.
It's one of those films that the conversations they have in the film, they're the conversations that you're only having with your one-on-one best friends. That's what it is.
Yeah, like, Jason Segel plays like the perfect sort of like guy best friend who you can say anything to, who will say anything to you. You can joke about farts, or you can, you know what I mean? It's like all of the things that you don't talk about in mixed company.
Right.
Like, that's the Jason Segel character in that movie. He embodies that.
And it does a very, very good job of handling. It's incredibly realistic, which means that they talk about intimate things, but they handle it in such a good, again, very honest, realistic way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's nice to see a movie that doesn't try to hide
the engagement dinner scene.
Oh yeah, oh that yes.
When he's trying to weave around all the innuendo, it's hilarious.
Give it back. And if you do, you will enjoy, I promise you, a fulfilled life in marriage. Give it back.
I'm the only one that gets what you're talking about, apparently.
I've seen it and I don't like it.
You don't?
So do you think... but I guess I'll give it another try, but fine.
Maybe it could be.
It could be not a, yeah.
It may be just a guy movie.
I
don't know.
The trailer was like the funniest part, and then I watched it. I'm like, what is this?
Oh my gosh.
But can I throw one out there of like kind of a random comedy that I really enjoy?
Sure.
Is not probably a good movie at all. You, Me, and Dupree. Okay, as
never
I get the silence coming back to me.
It's actually really
funny, and it's full of just those. It's almost like a Fletch, I would almost describe it. And I think he says his favorite movie is Fletch, which is funny too. But Owen Wilson just killed. He's the best part of it. The other stuff is kind of low rate, almost like romantic comedy. But Owen Wilson as, I don't even remember his first name, but Randolph Dupree.
Yeah. I remember watching that movie. Years ago, just out of college, and laughing because we had a buddy of mine living with us, and we were like, oh my God, we have a Dupree.
Everyone has a Dupree. That's why it's so funny.
Yeah.
And now I want to watch it because I want to know who would be a Dupree.
I mean, I don't necessarily think it's as good as I Love You, Man, but just putting it out there.
Wait, you're saying that he's your best friend? Yes, he's my best friend. Him and Hank Mardukas. That's my best friend. So great.
Do you think if I watch I Love You, Man, I'll be one step closer to understanding men?
Yes.
Yes.
Because I can use actually, you know what? I'm going to ask that question to the one other woman on the show.
I'm going to say no.
Well,
I can use some help in that department.
Hold on. How can you not understand men? Men are not a riddle. It's literally just face value.
Yeah. Brianne, this is no offense to you. If it's not helping you understand men, then you're failing to accept the reality that was posed in that film.
Oh, I already understand that. Yeah. I just don't need a movie to do it.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Yeah. They're very...
very
straightforward. What's this you got going on? What's this you got going on over here? What's this?
Have any of you guys seen Duplicity?
No.
That's with Julia Roberts, Clive Owen, Paul Giamatti, Tom Wilkinson.
No. Yeah, Tony Gilroy.
This would have been during Julia Roberts' 25-year streak of terrible movies.
I can't stand Julia Roberts. I just can't. I have no idea why. I don't know. I just have never liked her.
Her and Sandra Bullock?
I like Sandra Bullock.
Sandra.
Movies out 20 years ago, real quick. Forces of Nature, True Crime, The Kind and I.
No, it should be. I think I'm supposed to be The King and I. 3:31.
I read it wrong. I meant to say King.
3:31 in the morning.
I'm wrong.
I think that's the.
I was wrong.
Yeah.
I take credit for the wrongness.
3:31.
I haven't seen any of these movies. Has anybody seen any of these movies?
I saw Forces of Nature. I think I saw it once. I couldn't tell you what it was about. I know the poster.
It was No, I Love You, Man.
It was Forces of Nature, King and I, and what was the other one?
True Crime.
I think this is when I had HBO free. Yeah, so I saw all those.
Forces of Nature with Sandra Bullock and Ben Affleck.
I did not see that.
You've seen all of them, Brian?
Yeah, I think besides True Crime.
Do you have a favorite between the three?
I actually don't mind Forces of Nature. It's kind of a bad 90s romantic comedy.
Yeah, it's not good.
I didn't say it was good. It's enjoyable.
She just said it's not bad.
Yeah, calling it a bad 90s romantic comedy, there's a redundancy there that is unnecessary.
That's all I got for you.
Go watch
watch I Love You, Man.
Yeah, I really want to watch it now.
I was going to watch Rogue One and Stan and Ollie were on my list for this weekend, but now I Love You, Man.
You can sneak it in. It's only like an hour and a half.
It's true. Yeah. It's true. I'm a busy man, though.
Go get yourself Russified.
Going to see Us tonight.
Slap in the basement.
This has been TCNT Movie Talk here on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, 1035 FM. I don't know. Please listen.